This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Wednesday hump day, we have crested the peak of the week and it's all downhill from here. It's going to be glorious tonight. And here's why it's going to be glorious. We're going to do a how Washington works thing. And here's why. There's more SAVE Act stuff in the news and people keep asking the question, how can it be possible that the public, 80% of the public wants something and Congress won't do it? House won't do it. Senate. How is that possible in a representative republic? We're going to have a, it'll probably go on a little while. How does Washington actually work? Why does it work that way? We'll talk about that. Just kind of a 101 thing on how the country actually works, not how it's supposed to, but how it actually works. We'll discuss that. We have some tough poll numbers out there. We are going to get to that. The why, we'll talk about the why. Maybe tough to hear, but we'll discuss it. The American media is lying again. Why do they keep doing that? They even had to issue an apology. Why would you keep doing something you keep having to apologize for? The Epstein files were hacked. Winston Churchill's being removed from the dollar bills in England, even though they call them banknotes or something, which is kind of weird. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I want to begin here. I'm actually going to begin with an email. The subject is about the SAVE Act. The SAVE Act wait out, this guy says. And he's not a huge Trump fan, as a matter of fact. He says, I'm certainly no Trump mega fan. I've been critical a lot. Still mad about Rona. I don't like this Iran nonsense. But it seems the senators who dress themselves as Republicans are more than content to wait out what was Trump's electoral mandate agenda. They're fine with obliterating all that by being crushed in the midterms. They want the death of MAGA and MAHA, and they want to go back to fundraising, so on and so forth. Okay. The guy goes on and said, he says more. With some potty words in there, which we're not gonna say here on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show because it's a family show. But I want to actually rewind and do a historical story. Not gonna be a long history episode, so don't worry. But a historical story that we've talked about before, but it is so insanely relevant to where we are today. We're going to discuss it. Before there were ever emperors who ruled Rome, ancient Rome. And you know all the names. You know Caligula and Nero and Caesar Augustus. And you know all the names of the emperors. Rome was run not by one man. It was run by a group called the Senate. Yep, it was the Senate. A big group of men. All right, now, early on in Rome's early days, they were dead set against the king. They did not want a king. They wanted a little bit of a different way, but a representative government. No. We're going to elect senators. The senators, this group of men, they will decide the direction of the country. And for that, in a variety of other reasons, which we're not going to get into for the interest of time, Rome went from some fairly obscure city-state and it became this gigantic, mega powerful empire. Over a long period of time, you win a war here, you conquer this place, you take this territory, you come up with or steal or buy this technology. It went from some young, hard scrabble town to this mega, mega empire, still run by the Senate. Now, senators in the early days were not these ridiculously wealthy men. Of course, they weren't, you know, the poorest of the poor, but they weren't all on an ancient version of a yacht and private jets. Not at all. They were more of the people type men where you would speak to your Roman senator when you're picking up, who knows, probably pasta. When you're picking up your pasta for the morning, you will run into your senator. if you have some kind of an issue with your senator. Hey, Luigi, we don't have enough of the tomatoes. Stop. Anyway, if you have an issue with your senator, you can... Hey, jerk! What's up with it? That's how it was. As the nation grew and became more wealthy and more powerful, there began to be a separation between the men who ruled Rome and the citizenry, the people of Rome. A separation. And what does that separation look like? Well, today, maybe you work construction. Maybe you're a teacher. Maybe you're a small business owner. Whatever you do. Today, that's your life. You're struggling to get by. You just are. Probably. Struggling to get by. Or even if you're doing okay, you can see that others are. Maybe you don't travel as much. You don't eat out as much. You can't afford this. United States senators... Every time you turn on the news or pull up social media, they're in some palace in a Middle Eastern country. They've flown first class. They're at a steakhouse somewhere. They're living a life separate from you. In ancient Rome, that the tanner, the blacksmith, the whatever, working with his hands, the farmer, it was a real farmer-based society. At first, the senator was right there with him. Eventually, the Senate bought your farm. The senator bought your farm. Eventually, the senator had a plantation. He had slaves, servants. You never saw him again. He was being fed grapes by a slave girl from Germany while you're out there working your fingers to the bone. This separation of the rulers from the people created a disastrous situation that eventually led to revolt and civil war, and eventually Rome was led by an emperor. But the point is actually about us. It's not about Rome. Our politicians today, it is not the year 1776. It's not 13 colonies. Our politicians today, especially United States senators, they really do live the life of kings. And I personally know a few senators. I would not say I'm close with any United States senators. I'm friendly with some. I have hung out with some. And anytime I'm involved with some sort of an event where the senator is involved, it is billionaires. It's five-star resorts. The only times I think I've been on a private jet three times in my entire life, all three times were because a United States senator was involved. They live the life of kings. Now, pause for a second. This is not about wealth envy. It's really not. But I have so many people, and I'm very proud of the fact that the show has a real working class base to it. It makes me very proud. I don't know why it makes me proud. It just does. I have so many people who email in and tell me how they're struggling to get by. The United States senator on private jets, steakhouses, five-star resorts, fundraisers on the beach in Orange County. Does he want wholesale changes to how things are now? You remember that email I read you a couple days ago? A couple, they make a combined $100,000 a year. I mean, my goodness, most of my life, that's... It's dang good living, depending on where you live. They're not making it. They're barely making it. Barely paying the bills. Probably live in an expensive area, but barely paying the bills. They want changes. They want things to change. Maybe you're in this situation. Maybe you're at your second job right now, listening to me. Your third job. Your wife went back to work. Your husband's working his fingers to the bone. Your kid can't. You want changes made. You're not happy with how things are. But... just like when Rome got uber, uber, uber wealthy, the people who are in power, they don't want changes, major changes. Do you know when people start working out after never working out? Start eating better? When they have a heart attack. I had to get a stent put in. No burrito for me. I'm going to have a salad today, going for a walk afterwards. People don't generally make those changes when life is good. It's when life gets rough for some reason when they make changes. If you're in the United States Senate, no matter what your name is right now, do you want wholesale changes to the system of government in this country, to voting laws in this country? You can argue, they're going to be in the majority, but they'll be in the minority. Don't they care about that majority minority? They're on the same private plane. And it is a problem that they don't see a problem. Life's good if you're in the United States Senate. And if you're a working class person, and I'll come back. Actually, I have a poll for you here. I'll read it. We'll reference it several times tonight. But if you're a working class person, maybe poor, maybe even middle class, barely, you want changes made. We'll continue on and talk about the business of D.C. We'll go on about this for a while as we lay all this out. Before we get to that, let's get to this. I cannot save you from inflation. Can save you a bit of money on your cell phone, though. What do you pay every single month for a line on your cell phone? With Pure Talk, for $25 a month, you get unlimited talk and text message and plenty of data. $25 a month. Average family saves $1,000 a year. Does it beat inflation? Nope. Does it return the value of your dollar? Of course it doesn't. But it's something. Maybe it buys you a night out at a restaurant that you don't have now. Plus, it's a company that shares and promotes your values. There are about a million reasons you can switch to Pure Talk, and there's no reason not to. You could also, by the way, you keep your phone. You keep your number. Pick up your phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll continue on with Rome and America next. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. In fact, we're piggybacking off an email to start the show. Guy emails in, says these senators, these scumbags, they won't pass the SAVE Act. They're just trying to run out the clock on Trump. Don't they care? And so we're doing an ancient Rome-America comparison. Now, back to ancient Rome. As I said, they got wealthy, they got powerful, and the senators went from working in the farm right next door to living on massive plantations with slaves and things like that. They were living completely separate lives from the average Roman citizen, and they didn't want major changes in their country. And in their arrogance, and it was arrogance, they heard pleas from the people, we have to have changes, we have to have changes, and they kept either ignoring the people, basically spitting in the face of the people. The people would demand, hey, I need a representative of some kind that can you know, be a liaison between our two sides. They'd kill them half the time, ignore them. They just ignored the fact that there was a rising tide in Rome where the people were tired of no major changes happening. They were tired of the degradation of their standard of living. And because the senators were living high on the hog, they didn't hear those pleas and didn't care about those pleas and thought they were wealthy and powerful enough to simply tamp that down and keep going on about their lives. And they were successful for a while. You know that, right? They were very successful. The people would choose a populist leader and they just kill him, get rid of him, ignore him, arrest him, did all kinds of things to all kinds of different people. Eventually, of course, that bubbled over and they ran into a man who was simply more capable than the others. That would be Julius Caesar. And then that was it for the United States, for the Roman Senate at the time. The period of time we are in right now in the United States of America is very, very similar. And this is not something that happened over the last year. Normal people in this country, they feel like the people in Washington, D.C., Republican and Democrat, have separated themselves from them. They don't care about them. They're not listening to their concerns at all. They care about foreigners. They care about campaign contributions. They care about every other country on the planet except for ours. Lindsey Graham will tell you every single day, all day, 24 hours a day, that he loves Israel more than life itself. He never mentioned South Carolina in any possible way. The people of this country got so sick of that crap that they eventually elected Donald Trump. I'm talking about the first time. Remember how every single election expert on earth said there's no way Donald Trump can win? There's no politician for either party. Nobody can talk like this. He's been divorced 3 times. He doesn't even go to church. All the standard tick, tick, tick checkbox items you had to have to be elected president. Donald Trump didn't have any of them. And he goes in and curb stomps Hillary Clinton, who everybody thought was going to win. Why? How did that happen? Because the people who do politics, most definitely the people in Washington, D.C., did not and do not understand there is a rising tide of anger in this country, and they're tired of how things are now. They're tired of watching Senator Goober on a private jet on his way to Ukraine to French kiss Volodymyr Zelensky while they in North Carolina still don't have hurricane relief. They're sick and tired of it. But back to the senators and things like the SAVE Act. If you're on that private plane to Ukraine and you land, and I've experienced this once, I told you about it before. I never gave you the name, but you land and the stairs come down on this private jet and there's a fleet of armored cars waiting for you. Police escort. You hop in and you're driving off to the palace, treated like royalty everywhere you go. Yes, sir. May I get you something, Mr. Kelly? We have the finest wines. I don't drink wine, but we have the finest wines. Caviar, sir? If that's your situation, do you want it to end? Or do you want huge changes to that situation? Are you sitting there on your private jet on the way back from Ukraine saying to yourself, man, these poor people in our country, my heart just breaks for them. I am sad. And I'll tell you what, I don't care if it costs me this private jet. I'm going to land in D.C. and I'm walking down on the Senate floor and I'm making real changes to how this country rolls. That's not even human nature. This is not even me insulting the scumbags in D.C., although you know I hate them. That's not human nature. When things are going well, when you're getting promoted at work and you're driving a nice car and your wife is pretty and the kids are getting straight A's and life is pretty freaking good, you tend to not look in the mirror in that moment and say, I gotta make a change. That's the moment you look in the mirror and say, good job, me. I think I'll keep doing it. Now, the business aspect of this is powerful, and it's why I very rudely rail on the GOP primary voter, because the GOP primary voter is at war with the business of Washington, D.C., and that business we will discuss in a moment. Before we discuss the business of Washington, D.C., let's discuss something else. Gold Star families. Obviously, this is something we have to discuss again because we have American troops now dying in combat again. Who cares for these families when dad doesn't come home? Who cares for them? Tunnel to Towers has been caring for them. Not since last week. Since 9/11, Tunnel to Towers has been caring for these families. When we move on, when you and I move on, new news story, new troubles, new this, new that. Tunnel to Towers is there saying, hey, you know what? Let me pay off your mortgage. Let me at least ease that burden. Remember Tunnel to Towers? They built an entire community for Gold Star families. Isn't that just the most wonderful thing you've ever heard? Fallen first responder families. Gold Star families and fallen first responder families should be honored and cared for by the nation they sacrifice for, and Tunnel to Towers does it. And they do it with $11 a month from you. Sign up to just give it automatically. You'll never know it's gone. It's 11 bucks. T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Now, to back to our discussion here. The United States Senate won't pass the SAVE Act. 80% of the people want the SAVE Act. We have a representative government. And you can even point to just Democrats and be like, hey, these Democrats, that they won't pass it. And Chuck Schumer's out there kind of giving the game away a little bit.
It is about voter registration. It makes it, it allows ICE to kick tens of billions of people off the rolls.
Okay. But the American people want illegitimate voters off the rolls. How can Chuck Schumer get away with that? Well, I ranted last night on something, and it's not that I'm apologizing or taking it back, but I am going to explain it in just a little bit more depth. I was ranting about how we don't have the votes for the SAVE Act in the Senate. And I was blaming, as I often do, the GOP primary voter in red states who doesn't show up for the primary. But let's set aside the ones who don't show up. That's another matter. I brought up Mitch McConnell's last primary. Mitch McConnell is one of the main people blocking the SAVE Act. He has other people he's working with blocking the SAVE Act. Honestly, if you could point to one guy who's most responsible for blocking the SAVE Act, it's Mitch McConnell. All right? He hates Trump. Trump hates him. We got that. Got it. And I brought up the last primary election he had where Mitch McConnell had 82% of the vote. I think Jewish producer Chris told me it was 82.8. Is that right, Chris? 82.8% of the vote. Gosh, my mind is like a steel trap. Anyway, so let's talk about that number, because that number horrified you. Got a bunch of emails about it. 82%, how is that possible? Okay. You can call people stupid and lazy, and a lot of people are stupid and lazy, and that's fine. You can call them that. But you know what I ate last night? We'd gone out to eat. My mom was in town. We'd gone out to eat and this and that. Got home. You know, I can't have chips. Do you know what I ate last night? A Nestle Crunch bar. Do you know why I ate a Nestle Crunch bar? Kid you not. I didn't realize it until I was halfway through this Nestle Crunch bar. You know, I told you I had been flying. I had been in Los Angeles. That's why I was gone Monday for Adam Carolla's show. I thought back and I remembered somewhere in Los Angeles, I saw it was either a billboard or a poster or something for Nestle Crunch Bars. And I remember they even had it had been broken and there were these chocolate pieces coming off. 2 days later, I'm at a gas station buying a Nestle Crunch Bar after going out to eat. The truth is, advertising works. Why do people advertise? Why are there television commercials and YouTube commercials? Why do all these NASCAR guys have 8,000 patches on their uniform? Why do people spend money? It costs money. Why would you spend money on a TV commercial? Because it friggin' works. And it has always worked. It works on you and it works on me because we're human beings with eyes and ears, and I wanted a freaking crunch bar. Because 2 days earlier, I saw a poster and, that looked crunchy and delicious. By the way, it was pretty freaking good. Chris? Why does Mitch McConnell get 82% of the vote? John Cornyn is what it feels like universally despised by Texas GOP voters, yet he's now in a runoff against Ken Paxton. I think he'll lose that runoff, but he's in a runoff. How could he even get to a runoff? They spent $100 million. $100 million. Where did they spend it? On advertising. On Crunch Bar posters. Only instead of that Crunch Bar, it was John Cornyn all over my television set, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I swear, every time I walk by the TV, there was a John Cornyn ad on the television set. It didn't matter where I was. I could be in a lobby of a doctor's office, in the house. Ob has the TV on in the background. It's, I'm John Cornyn, and I vote with Trump 99% of the time. I love Trump. Trump and me and Trump. Now, if he played that one time, maybe that wouldn't make an impact on the voters in any significant way. But you drumbeat that into the head of voter after voter after voter after voter, time after time after time after time after time after time. You walk into the polls and you might just be tempted to buy that Crunch bar, even though you shouldn't. It's terrible for you. Money matters a lot in politics, and no one likes to talk about that because it makes us feel dirty. One, it makes us feel stupid, doesn't it? I'll be honest. I was halfway through that Crunch bar last night and I felt pretty dumb, especially when it clicked why I was eating it. When it clicked that wait a minute. I'm eating a Crunch bar because I saw a poster in Los Angeles? What are you, some kind of sheep? I'm having this conversation with myself. Does it make you feel stupid that you would vote for or against a politician because of television ads? You're smarter than that, right? No, you're not. Neither am I. That's not how we're built. We can be manipulated by what goes into our eyes and ears. These United States senators who won't pass the SAVE Act even though you want it. How can they get away with that? Why does John Cornyn get 76% of the primary vote? Why does Mitch McConnell get 82%? How is this humanly possible? Because they have truckloads of money to spend. And they spend that money telling voters all over the news and social media how wonderful they are. And I don't know what my reputation is nationally, nor do I really give a crap. But I promise you this, if you handed me $100 million, I could make it better. I don't care what it is, I could make it better. If half the country hates me right now, I guarantee I can get those numbers up to 55, 60% with $100 million. A man can do a lot with $100 million, can sell a lot of Crunch bars. Money does matter in politics. It matters a lot. It's why, if you have the means, only if you have the means, if you have the means to financially contribute to a cause or a candidate you believe in, you really should. And I should too. I've shied away from that more in recent years, if I'm being honest. Really just because I'm a crotchety old man now. I don't want to get bombarded with requests after I do one thing. I don't want to have to field all the endless mailers. And that's just a lame excuse. I should do that more than I do, pointing fingers at me. If you have the means, money matters a lot. I'll go back to the John Cornyn thing. John Cornyn spent $100 million in that primary. Ken Paxton spent about five. If Ken Paxton has $20 million to spend, we're probably not even in a runoff situation. He wins outright. He didn't have the money. These senators raise large sums of money. They own the television airwaves. They fill up your inbox, your email inbox. They fill up your mailbox telling you how great they are. Their opponents, the spawn of Satan, and advertising works. Sells a lot of Crunch bars. Now, to finish off this point, how do they get all this money? Why did they get all this money? Who is giving these scumbags money? Who's writing these huge checks to John Cornyn and Mitch McConnell and these types? That we'll talk about next. Now, relief factor. Why do they buy advertising on this show? Well, because I use it and I love it. That's part of it, of course. That's kind of their thing. They're not interested unless I'm a believer in it. And I am. You know, I'm always a seeker of natural things. But Relief Factor understands that they buy advertising on the show. I, as a user of it, I will talk about that with you. And if you are someone who has chronic pain or daily aches and pains, maybe because you heard about it from me on this show, maybe you'll think this is a solution for you. It's how advertising works. Everyone understands this, and it does work. It's amazing. 100% drug-free, which is my thing, you know. It's a supplement. I like that part of it. You take it daily. It helps support your body's natural response to pain. Call them. Just try it. Look, it doesn't work. Don't order anymore. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Wednesday, a hope day. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So to finish off our little talk here, before we talk about the media lying about everything, before we talk about poll numbers, Winston Churchill, hackers, all that, and so much more, these senators, okay, they win primaries, they win elections because they raise a bunch of money and spend a bunch of money in advertising works. I got it. You got it. We all got it. How do they raise that kind of money? Well, this comes back to the looting we talked about before. And it's not only Democrats who do this. The United States of America has a $20 trillion economy. It's actually more than that, but we'll just stay that for the ease of it. $20 trillion. Think about this way. Think about the volume of money that flows from your wallet into the treasury of the United States of America. Only this. It doesn't flow from your wallet into the treasury and collect there as a big pool. Remember, they actually spend more than they even take in. So what is the United States Treasury? It's essentially just a place where your money gets redirected. That's it. It doesn't stay anywhere. They steal it from all of us. It comes into Washington, D.C., and then beep, 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 someone pulls a lever, presses a button, and sends that money out. Where do they send it? You know where they send it? Wherever Mitch McConnell tells them to send it. Wherever John Cornyn tells them to send it. Wherever Chuck Schumer tells them to send it. Wherever Nancy Pelosi tells them. You get the idea. The United States House of Representatives and the United States Senate, they are the ones with the buttons and the levers who decide where vast quantities of money go. And they channel vast quantities of money into the hands of entire industries. And that money comes back. And what's more is this. They can stop money from flowing to you if you make them angry. Because when you think about it, let's think about a United States senator, for instance. Yes, there's only 100 United States senators. We got it. But they don't technically have the power of the purse, right? They're not the president. No executive orders. They're not the commander in chief. So if I'm a Raytheon, we'll just use that as an example. They're a big defense contractor. Why do I spend so much time sucking up to Lindsey Graham? Why would I even bother with it? Lindsey Graham's one senator. He's from South Carolina. Why do we have to wine and dine Lindsey Graham again tonight? He wants to go out to that favorite resort in Aspen. He's going to want to fly on that private jet again. Oh, man, he wants to stay for a week? All right, but why don't I just tell him, no, I can't justify that expense. That's tens of thousands of dollars. Why? No, I can't. Why don't they just say no? Well, it's not just that Lindsey Graham can take your money and funnel it to Raytheon. It's that if you make him angry enough, he can stop money flowing to Raytheon. Now, what happens to all those powerful people who work at Raytheon, all those corporate boardroom types who make tens of millions of dollars? What happens to their Christmas bonus this year if Lindsey Graham stops the money flowing? It's gone. So it's a gigantic criminal racket. And the longer you spend in D.C., if you allow yourself to get corrupted, and almost all of them do, the more buttons and levers you have in your hands. You control more of the cash flow. And it's not just defense contractors, by the way. That was one example. We're talking major financial institutions, institution after institution, industry after industry, because Washington, D.C. controls way too much of the economy in this country. The United States Senate and United States senators have way too much control of the cash flow. And as long as they have that much control of the cash flow, then the people who own the cash, the people sitting on all that money, these gigantic corporations, it's just smart investment to make sure John Cornyn keeps going back to Washington, D.C. What do you think, John Cornyn wants to sit and worry about you?
I know Republicans, voters, and as I said earlier, really it's a question of who bothers to show up. If only the most radical people show up in the primary, then I think that's going to be a challenge.
You and your radical views. I bet you want illegals deported, don't you? Ah, you radical. I bet you didn't want gun control legislation, which he wanted. You radical. Stop being so radical. The people in power, the people with money, they want the United States Senate to stay exactly as it is. Yeah, they're not. You think these people are going to stress if Democrats have a slight majority or if Republicans have a slight majority? Do you think they really stress that they can weather all those storms? They'll get through all that. You know the one storm the United States Senate absolutely positively cannot weather at all? If they have to actually start representing the interests of the American people. If that were to actually happen, you would see 80 to 90 United States senators lose their next election, probably their next primary. They cannot afford that. That's why they won't pass the SAVE Act. Chuck Schumer said it.
It is about voter registration. It makes it allows ICE to kick tens of millions of people off the rolls. And they don't tell them until election day, and you show up and you say, you're not registered anymore.
You think any United States senator, Republican or Democrat, wants gigantic changes to the system in this country? The system's working out just fine for them. Republican and Democrat, they don't care about being a majority, minority. That's what you care about. You're a patriot. They don't care at all. All right, we're moving off that. We're going to talk about setting the narrative. The media, the communists, they're telling another huge lie. They already had to apologize. So why do they keep doing it? Next.